Good morning, all. Welcome to the Business of Open Source track. I'm here to welcome Robert Cheatham, the Chief Strategy Officer at Element 84.
All right, thanks so much, Stephen. Great to see so many friendly faces out there this morning. I'm Robert Cheatham. I'm Chief Strategy Officer. Many of you probably know me as the former CEO of Azavia, and the talk I'm going to give is a little bit catalyzed by our joining forces with Element 84 back in February. So I'm going to talk about a project I've been working on over the last few months with many of my colleagues at Element 84. But just a little bit of an introduction for those of you who aren't familiar with the organization. We're a women-owned small business that works with public, private, and nonprofit sector to develop geospatial data processing tools and software engineering that helps answer questions about our health, our infrastructure, and our changing planet. Element 84 has been deeply rooted in the open source community for quite a long time, and the fact that we've joined forces with Azavia is increasing our contributions and helping to leverage that, advancing the entire ecosystem. We do a couple of different things. We build geospatial infrastructure largely around cloud native workflows, much of it around remote sensing for a variety of organizations. And we build geospatial applications on top of that. The talk I'm going to do is inspired by an organization called ThoughtWorks. How many people here have heard of ThoughtWorks? Big professional services software development organization. Over 12,000 people do work all over the world. They publish, and they've published since 2010, something called the ThoughtWorks Technology Radar. They just released version 29 of this. And this radar is intended to be a snapshot of tools, techniques, platforms, languages, and frameworks based on their pragmatic experience actually working with those tools. Their radar is organized into quadrants. They're using that radar metaphor as a way to think about things that are coming closer and sort of having a scan of what's on the horizon and then organizing those into things that we should trial, assess, or adopt. And then they have a fourth level called hold. It's essentially like, we've tried this and it's not very good and you shouldn't use it, which is sort of the outermost one. And then they organize into four different quadrants based on these different components, techniques, tools, and so on. They've been doing this a while. I apologize. I'm not sure if someone in the technical team, like the slide that I can see is about 6 inches, and I can't see even what I'm talking about. So I'm going to turn to the side, but I also can't read that. They've been doing this. They get together about 20 of their technology leads, and they work on this all year long. They have bi-weekly meetings. They have a retreat every 6 months for a couple of weeks. They are drawing on knowledge of a truly enormous organization. This has been inspiring people for some time. They actually encourage people to create their own radars. They've, in the spirit of open source, released a GitHub repository. You can go out and create your own, and they encourage people to do so. Element 84 has done this before. In 2014, not long after our founding, one of my colleagues, Jason Gilman, wrote a technology radar, and it was published as a blog. This blog did incredibly well. It got a lot of attention. It was not particularly focused on geospatial or open source. It was just some of the tools that Element 84 was using in its early youth. This past year, in light of the acquisition of Azavia, Dan Pallone, our CEO, came to me and said, it'd be really great to do this, but do it more regularly and really focus on our areas of expertise, geospatial and open source. So we wanted to build a geospatial technology radar that would contribute to a broader conversation. Part of a lot of what makes open source work is a lot of people talking to each other and collaborating over a period of time. In addition, if you've ever heard Chris Holmes or Paul Ramsey talk, you know that opinions cogently expressed can have an enormous impact on the direction of a community and an ecosystem. Oh, thank you. In doing this, we wanted to express some of the different practice areas that we have expertise with at Element 84. So you can organize a lot of our practice areas into four simple things. We do a lot of work around machine learning. Someone keeps changing the thing. Okay. We do a lot of software engineering and data analytics. We do have a lot of experience working with Amazon Web Services and Azure around cloud architecture and scaling. And we have a significant user experience design practice. And we wanted to make sure we reflected each of these practice areas and what we built. So we made some pretty significant changes to what ThoughtWorks does. We combine platform and tools. Our feeling was in the contemporary software world, the difference between platform and tools is not that significant, or the boundary is not very clear. We left techniques as it was, and we dropped languages, and we replaced the two empty spots with data and standards. Data is such a critical part of a lot of what we are doing in the geospatial world, and standards are a key part of how Element 84 has been making contributions and expressing leadership over the last several years. We host stack code sprints. We contribute to the satellite tasking specification that's got off the ground. Some of you may have heard about it this week. And so those are some pretty significant changes to the quadrants we wanted to try to address here. The second was when we put together our initial list of what we wanted to write about, we didn't have a whole lot in that hold category. In addition, we're an organization that works with a lot of different tools and a lot of different customers and partners, and we didn't really want to be in a position where we're saying, don't use this, because there's probably some of our friends might be people who really want to use that and think it's a really good thing. In addition, we felt like it didn't really reflect this radar metaphor to have a hold category. And so we have replaced that with what we're calling watch. And in the geospatial world, this is particularly important, especially around data, where we know, for example, that Planet Labs is planning on launching a Pelican constellation. That's going to be a really big set of, you know, big set of changes in terms of what's possible with planet data. There are a lot of new hyperspectral satellites about to be launched over the next 12 to 18 months. NISAR is supposed to be launched in January and is going to mean some capability changes to what's possible with SAR data. We wanted to be able to write about that because we're fairly confident those things are going to happen, and we want to be able to talk about the future, even though no one can yet use that data. So we've got this watch idea. So we used a lot of the same criteria that ThoughtWorks did. We asked ourselves, is this particular, we call them blips, or ThoughtWorks calls them blips, is this particular blip directly related to or having a significant impact on geospatial technology? So we didn't only write about geospatial items, we did write about some other things like Dask, but things that have a big impact on the geospatial ecosystem. Second, do we have enough experience with the technology to have a thoughtfully held opinion about it? This is a really important criteria. We don't want to be talking about things that we don't know enough about to have an informed opinion on. So if when looking through this, you see, well, why didn't you talk about this? Part of it, maybe we don't feel like we know enough about it to say something useful. Has it changed or developed? Have there been changes or developments with technology over the past year? This also is important. We didn't, for example, write about Google or JTS. These things are so much part of the woodwork, they're not even questioned, and we didn't have enough to say about what's new with them that we felt like it was worth highlighting. So things need to have changed or developed in some new way. Now, we have incorporated some pretty old technologies. HDF5, for example, which has been around for 30 years, is included, but it's being used in new ways, and so we're highlighting it for that reason. Does this support our focus on open source, open data, open standards, and public good? We're part of an open knowledge ecosystem. We want to write about that particular set of things, so we have a pretty heavy bias toward that. We didn't limit ourselves only to open source, but it's a pretty significant, we leaned heavily on that, that side of the scale. We anticipated a few potential issues, and we did run into them. We aim to have an opinionated guide, and as I suggested earlier, what if we have opinions that throw shade on a customer or partner? We just tried to avoid that. We tried to be positive, tried to say good things about the things that we're going to write about. The second, as I suggested earlier, we're not a 12,000 person company. Our exposure is going to be narrower than an organization like ThoughtWorks. And we have a half a dozen leads instead of 20 plus. And we don't have the resources for biweekly meetings and annual two-week long retreats. So this is going to be limited by some of those characteristics. Our process looks a lot like what you might expect. We generated a straw man version. We didn't just throw a bunch of things into a pot from a bunch of different people and say, okay, let's write about this. I actually wrote a first version of it, essentially for everyone to critique, with the idea that individuals propose and groups dispose. It's a lot easier to edit something and add to it than it is to start from a blank sheet of paper. We added and removed candidate terms. That straw man changed a lot. We had some pretty extensive discussions. There wasn't always agreement, but we had pretty good consensus on what we were going to write about. We then allocated this to a bunch of different writers who had the most experience with something. And then we reviewed that. These are not sequential. Our design team played a really significant role in this, but their work actually started quite a bit earlier than this list would suggest. And then we wanted to publish it as a blog article, an interactive web page, and a PDF, and then share it with all of you here. So we're essentially launching it this week. So all those things are done, and this talk is about that initial sharing out. So this is the blog. There is an interactive that looks pretty different from ThoughtWorks. We did not use the software that they had released in the GitHub repository. We kind of created our own work. And there are a few specific reasons for that. A lot of them came out of insights from our UX design team. But there's an interactive, and you can mouse over on it and click on things to see all of that. Here's another display of that. And then there's a document that you can download and read at your leisure. So we made a bunch of other changes. In addition to not having the same categories as ThoughtWorks, we were somewhat critical of the display. While the metaphor of a radar, and therefore showing that as a nested set of circles with blips that sort of increase in intensity as you move in, is interesting and useful and is a helpful metaphor, it's actually not an awesome way to interact with data. So if you start jamming a bunch of points into a progressively nested set of circles, that gets harder and harder to interact with. And so while we did display it that way to honor that radar metaphor, we provided several other displays that were essentially orthogonal grids. We also introduced shading of the of the blips to show like how far, how confident we are in that particular thing or how close we are to recommending adoption. So we experimented with some different layouts. This is the ThoughtWorks radar. They've got numbers on everything. We felt like this was pretty distracting. And if you have better layouts that make it easier to browse and understand things at a glance, you don't really need the numbers. This is what Tufte might call chart junk. So we took that stuff out. And this is our first one. So one of the things that ThoughtWorks does is they have a sort of direction of travel indication. As a blip new, has it moved? What direction has it moved in, up or down? Or is there no change? We didn't worry about that because we haven't had any changes. So we'll probably add this in a future version. So it has been a big rush. We were still making edits this morning, literally minutes before this was happening. We found some errors in the PDF, and I think we've updated it. But over the last week or so, I've had a little bit of time to think about some reflections on what this means and how we might have done better. But some of these reflections relate to how people do collaborative work. This was essentially a lot of different people contributing to a shared project. And not that different from building open source software. And so like an open source project, we ran into some trouble that I think we did anticipate, I guess, but I don't think we did a great job of working through it. So I just wanna be a little bit critical about it. So one example is length. The left one is PM tiles, and the right one is Source Cooperative, the project that Jed is talking about and that Chris Holmes mentioned a couple of times in his keynote yesterday. Different people wrote these. They have a different perspective. Spoiler alert, the one on the right I wrote. I am not known for my brevity. And I wanted to talk about, well, where did Source Cooperative come from? And the ML Hub project that preceded it? And why was that created? And the history around that? And what does it all mean? And so like I barely have fit my text into a page. And the person I worked on pre-M tiles was much briefer about it. Anyway, this difference in like voice and length and how far you go into something and how much context do you give takes a lot of time to edit through. And I don't think we did a great job of this, and it's an area where we should probably try to improve the next time around. But I think that's really similar to what goes on in, let's say, writing documentation for an open source project. You're gonna have a lot of different contributors to it. They're gonna have different voices. They're gonna have different style of writing. They're gonna have a different approach in terms of how much context they give and so on. We missed some stuff. After we finalized the list, and we were still finalizing the list, but we agreed we weren't gonna add anything else. We did remove a few things late in the game. But I wrote down a list of all the things that I was pretty sure we missed and we could have written about. And even in a small organization like ours, we're less than 100 people, like our engineers don't know what all the other engineers are working on. And having an overview of everything that's happening in the organization is actually pretty tough. A colleague did a talk on OGC API for processes. I had no idea someone was working with this. That would have been a great one to have written about, and we didn't include it. Tippecanoe and X-Array and Pangeo, also probably things we missed. Should have thought about Queryable Earth. Chris had done that talk several years ago. And then at this event, I saw things that we probably should be looking at for the next one. Apache Sedona, Apache Iceberg, Havasu, and Chris Holmes also mentioned this idea of a cloud-native spatial data infrastructure. So stay tuned in the next one. There were some other challenges, and they hit our machine learning team probably most significantly. Some stuff's just really complicated to talk about and think about. And so ThoughtWorks actually has a term for this. They call it TCTB, too complex to blip. And a lot of our machine learning work is like this. The techniques are changing fast. How we think about the techniques is changing fast. What is a foundation model? What is transfer learning and how is it being used in the geospatial world? All of these things we tried to, so the machine learning blips were very much a moving target all the way up to the end. And the team had to grapple with trying to create something that's useful, interesting, has some context, and also realizing that they'll probably have regrets in about a week in terms of what's changing in that world. I don't know how to fix that. That's sometimes the world's just complicated and it's hard to write in simple terms. Next time, I think perhaps we should start earlier. We started in August, and we, like I said, we were still racing this past week. We could have used a few more weeks on editing. On the other hand, I am one of those people who will be working on something right up to the deadline anyway. And so if I had given myself 2 months, I probably would have still taken 2 months. And if I give myself 4 months, I still would be working up to the deadline. So, but still, I think we probably could have started earlier. And having something to start from now as our starting point next year will probably be helpful. I think we could have done a more proactive, like deliberate job of getting input from beyond the leads. Like this was explicitly assigned to the group of technology leads at the organization. We probably could have like proactively reached out deeper into the organization and done a better job surfacing blips. I think we could have had more eyes on the editing, like having someone to edit for voice and length and all of the other things that was not one of the writers probably would have been a pretty helpful thing. And we'll be paying more attention to movement, the direction of travel on a future one. And another thing that ThoughtWorks does that I think is pretty helpful is they not only publish this, they now sort of step back a little bit and try to thematize some of the observations. So if you've got 70 or 80 of these blips, how do you start to draw some broad thematic conclusions across them? We did not do that here, and I think there's an opportunity to do so in the future. So that is the radar. Go to element84.com, Geospatial Tech Radar 23. And there's a blog, and that the blog also has links to things. This was a team effort. A lot of people contributed. It's a list of the contributors there. I'm grateful for all of them, as well as the designers and engineers that worked on the interactive version. Get some more information about Element 84. We have one more talk happening this week. My colleague, Brad Andrick, is gonna be talking about digital cartography with visualizing large data sets at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And there's the links again. I will close by saying I'm grateful for all of you. Many of what goes into here is inspired by the conversations that we have with all of you in this in the open source ecosystem, and events like this help to catalyze these kinds of conversations, and look forward to many more and your contributions in the future. Thank you.